This is Brendan from Cubs Insider with our last installment of our interview series with Mike Bryan, Chris Bryan's dad. Thanks to Mike for teaching me more about hitting and for the insight into one of the game's best hitters. Subscribe to the Cubs-related podcast on iTunes for weekly Cubs discussions with me and Corey Friedman.
When Chris was drafted, and I don't know if you pay attention to, you know, public scouting reports like Baseball Prospectus, or and you said you subscribed to FanGraphs. There's a few scouting reports that criticized on, and they described it as like a quick transfer to his front side. An example they gave was, you know, if there was an off-speed pitch, it looked like he was, you know, on his front side a little bit too quick and that left him susceptible to off-speed pitches. So I don't know if you're visualizing that with me. But funny enough, you know, he destroys off-speed pitches, and that never actually became a problem. But are those types of scouting, has that ever been a concern? Like, you know, when he was a younger college player, was him leaning over on that front side too much? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, it looked like he was sliding forward a little bit too much. That never ended up being a problem, but any thoughts on that?
Put it in perspective, okay? What's a pitcher's job, okay? A pitcher's job is to disrupt the hitter's timing. In other words, to pull him out of position, to get his back right elbow separated away from his body,
right.
Okay? That's the thing right there. If you stay connected with the elbow, the back right elbow to your rib cage on the back side, on the side of your body, not in front of your body, because if it gets in front, you're disconnecting now.
Okay.
Elbow needs to stay connected to your rib cage on the side, and as you turn through the ball, it releases. That's what a pitcher's job is to separate the hands from the hips, okay? If we want to get stupid technical and everything, I like the simple, okay? But So whatever, okay? Whatever. That my was like, okay, so what?
Right.
You know, how many times does a pitcher do that in a game? A lot, okay?
Yeah, I bet.
So, and if we get into scouting reports, okay, and, you know, back in when Chris was in high school, and let me just tell you, you know, in all due respect to the people that do their job out there, you know, they were more focused on what he couldn't do than what he could do. And they held him to a much higher standard, okay? They, you know, I'm not sure, you know, geez, man, you know, I don't want to badmouth scouts. I'm an associate scout right now. I help out the Cubs scout through California, so I'll be badmouthing me if I do. But I read scouting reports on Chris that just freaking made my blood boil. I was seething.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, you can't believe it. And I know where the sources come from, and I know why they did it, and why they gave all the stupid information to Baseball America. I mean, there was some stuff about Chris, like, you know, he has trouble barreling balls up with wood. The power only shows up when he's got an aluminum bat in his hand or in batting practice, you know, and I'm like, okay, so great. Why don't you just call him a freaking 5 o'clock hitter, okay?
I read the same stuff. I'm like, that's not right.
No, they did that, okay? Well, geez, man, this is great stuff for my book, okay? I really want to write a book. I really do. But, you know, to hear stuff like that, and look, if I'm a dad that never played baseball, I would look at that very differently than as a professional hitting instructor who taught his kid all his life and tried to prepare him for success. Okay, so I take it freaking personal, dude. Okay?
I bet.
And if people need to think that way before they write stuff about my kid, because I take it personal. Okay?
And I bet.
I know that that's just my dynamic personality, okay? Type A, Chris is type B. It's okay, right? It's okay. You know, I get the demons that I get to deal with, okay? But when you say that's totally irresponsible, okay? People, all the guys that weren't held to the high standard that Chris was held coming out of high school are not playing in the big leagues now, okay? And he made it there before everybody. And I can name names, and I'm not being, you know, to be derogatory about stuff, but there's guys that got drafted way higher than him out of high school. The only guy that made it was Harper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the only one that comes to mind. I knew Bryce was going to make it because he's really good. But all the other guys, you know, those first rounders that were, you know, they were talking about offering guys $4 million. I mean, look, Did Chris get out on his front side? Yeah. You know why he did? Because he had an open stance like Evan Longoria. His feet were close together, and he took about a 2-foot stride. Okay, so in that 2-foot stride area, it's easy to pull a guy out of position. So what did we do?
We widened him up.
We widened him up, shortened his steps, got him to believe that he could still generate the same amount of power, or the fact that he didn't have to hit it 600 feet, he could hit it 500 feet or 450. Yep. Okay, and that's what it was. So we widened him up, got his head closer to the ground by about 10 inches. He was closer to the outside pitch. We not flattened his swing, but, you know, moved in the direction of reducing his vertical end, which we didn't have all the information that we had now. And, you know, he was going on gut instinct, and he went out and just tore it up in college the last 2 years. So, that's what it was right there. It was that simple. It was a real simple fix. And because Evan Longoria gets out in his front side a lot.
Right.
So did Manny Ramirez, and so did A-Rod and all the big steppers with the high leg kick. So does Josh Donaldson. He gets out on his front side. Batista. That's why they're pole hitters, you know? So
that makes sense. Cool. So, Mike, I appreciate you talking to me. Definitely cool insight. You know, I was never a great baseball player myself, but it's funny because, you know, listening to you is the complete opposite to what I was taught when I was a kid. So it's interesting to see this culture change. You know, I try to incorporate some of the, like, the stat stuff. I'll do my own stats. But, you know, to me, baseball's a lot of gray area. It's never black. It's never white. No absolutes.
Right.
And so whenever I read a lot of the baseball media stuff, they talk in absolutes. Like, for example, like, oh, Chris's dad is messing up his swing. Like, you know, that's just not sure. So I hope with, like, you know, the stuff I write and some of the stat stuff I write that it leaves more, like, gray area, more interpretation, which is kind of cool. And so
you know what? There's one rule you can live by as a writer, okay? And I get a relationship with Jess Rogers. I tell him this. I kind of open his eyes up. But, you know, you've got to make the story really human and not put the guy up on a pedestal because he's just like you. He's just anybody else, no matter who it is. It's just because he's good at baseball doesn't mean he's this, you know, just popular. That's all. And, you know, but he's human. And all the emotions that go with being human are the same to a guy like that as it is to you and I. So, So that's, if you write like that and that comes through, that's what's going to make you popular.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's going to propel you to want people to read your stuff, you know.
Right.
And you'll get more and more popular because of it, because of your writing style.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the passion comes out, and no anger comes out, and no vitriol comes out, and no, like, got a bone to pick, you know, type attitude comes out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
what I'm always walking that fine line, dude. I'm telling you, it's hard for me, you know, because, you know, but that's where I'm coming from. I still have to talk baseball, you know? And I always say, hey, when you talk baseball, you're never wrong. You're just never wrong. You're just always learning. And you're always correcting, you know, and you just get better and better at it. You know, look at, you know, you're going to become this, you're self-deprecating humor about how you never played baseball. You know, it doesn't matter, okay? You can become really good at this. You got kids, whatever. You can teach them because you can acquire knowledge and become a really good coach, teacher, having not played. I got a guy I coach with. He never played baseball. He was a soccer player at Clemson, right? But he's an athlete, and he listens, and he teaches, and he's a motivator, and he makes sure that the words he uses mean things. It's, you know, and his kid's going to Chicago State, D1, you know, in the WAC. They're playing, you know, Fullerton. So it can be done, man, and that's if you have the right attitude.